Hey, this is Brian Kilby, and you are listening to Radio Free Cybertron. This is the first update since April. Some of you may know, some of you may not, some of you may not care. My mother passed away in early May, and I really haven't felt like doing an update since then. Her health is basically the reason that I have done so few updates this year. And for the long-time listeners, you all know that within, now about 19 months of each other, I lost my brother, my dad, and my mom. So, oh, and my dog of 14 years. But that's sort of insignificant. So basically, it kind of sucks to be me. But, you know, I'm moving on. Just moved into a new apartment. Start a new job on Monday, making substantially more money, you know, than I do now. So that will be more money for toys. Yeah. And of course, more money to put on RFC. Yeah. Sort of rusty here. Have no idea what I'm doing. I had a lot of stuff for the show, I mean, that I was going to do. I mean, I was going to review my bootleg Defensor, which I got, 2 months ago. The DVD box set of G1, which I got on day one, but that was forever ago. The little mini Scourge and XV and Wild Ride, or Brawn. It's X-Brawn, yeah. See, I told you, it's been a while. And goodness, I had some other stuff to review. The new Dreamwave comics, which, and those are stacked up somewhere. I just moved, so. Also, the last trade paperback, which now there are two out, I believe, from Titan Books. And just so much stuff, but, you know, I don't have that handy to review. And I have a lot of stuff to dig out, just a ton of stuff. I was also going to review Air Attack Optimus Primal, and I was going to review the laser cycles, the Axer and Sideways. That's right. But that will come later. I will probably do a quick recap of Heroes Con, which was a month ago now. I was going to do an update then, but that just fell through. But on the show this week, we do have quite a few things. Rob from the Bot Files is reviewing Bumble Jumper. Finback is back on the show. So Megatron 33 ends out the show this week. But we're going to start things off this week with Rob and his review of Bumble Jumper.
You're listening to Radio Free Cybertron, the best in Transformers on the internet.
Hello, this is Rob from the Bot Files for RFC. Today I'm going to be reviewing G1, Bumblebee, and Cliff Jumper. Well, not exactly G1, they're the recent keychains put out by Fun for All. They're really the same toy as before, just they got a little extra little loop of plastic on their, I guess that'd be their left shoulder, with a little detachable keychain attached. And it's not really much of a keychain, it's just like a little chain that's got a little clip where you can attach to really anything. But aside from that, they're really the same toys. Although I think Cliff Jumper's a little darker red, Bumblebee's more of a cardinal yellow, but ah, well, they're what you remember. Well, to start off, I guess I'll start with Bumblebee, since no one really likes him. Well, okay, a lot of people like him, they just don't like him on the show, because, well, you know, he's a wuss. But oh well, you know, he's the character more for the kids, kind of like Snarfos and Thundercats. But aside from, his little toy's pretty cool. First off, I would advise taking off the keychain before you play around with him, because the little metal that the Easter keychain is rather crap. It's going to break real easy if you're not careful with it, which I would advise don't put it on your keys, because, well, for one thing, he's too big for a keychain. You put him in your pocket, it's going to be really uncomfy. And two, you're going to lose them. Same if you like to clip them onto a bag or whatever, you're going to lose them. This metal's not very good. It's going to break real easily. But the transformation's pretty easy. I mean, you just pull down the front part of the car, the legs come out, then you fold up that, and it makes the feet. Then you pull out the wheels, and they make the arms. Then flop open the little back trunk piece, and there's his head. And there you got Bumblebee. He stands about maybe 2 inches. He's about the same size as the Spy Changers from Robots in Disguise. And he's pretty neat looking. On his arms, he has this really crappy looking hand, actually. It's really just a solid piece with another piece to make it look like a thumb. But that's pretty much G1 from those first ones. That's almost, you expect that kind of hand. His tires are rubber, which is really nice for collector's sake. I can remember when I was a little kid, the little tires were kind of a pain in the butt because they'd snap off, but now I'm a, you know, collector and stuff, you know, that's a pretty nice touch. His face doesn't look much like it does on the show, but if you had the old toy, you'd know that already. He kind of more has like a, well, he looks more like Goldbug than he did Bumblebee. But I guess when they made Goldbug, they decided to make that Bumblebee because it looked exactly the same, and for a cartoon-wise, he actually looked like a toy for a change. Of course, he turns into a Volkswagen. I'm not sure of the year, but I don't think they're really going for any certain year Volkswagen. I mean, they all pretty much look the same, and they were really going more for generic looks. Look generically like a car, that is, I should say. He's pretty nifty. I'd say his tires aren't the same as the original, though. The original had Dunlop on them. And this one doesn't, which that doesn't really matter much, just not very accurate. Probably some legal issue reason they can't use that anymore. And the little keychain, if you're going to display him, it's kind of nice to leave it on because he's very front. The front of him is kind of very heavy, much like a Spy Changer Ironhide. So the keychain makes actually a nice little counterweight to stand him up and display him. Now, Cliff Jumper, on the other hand, is he's exactly the same. He, instead of a Volkswagen, though, he's kind of a, it's like a little sports car. I think he's supposed to be like a Mazda sports car or something, I'm not too sure. It's kind of just a generic sports car look. They transform exactly the same way as they're, pretty much the same like robot chassis, just the snap over body parts are different, and so is the little face plates on the head. His face looks exactly like it did in the cartoon. Which is pretty cool because back in those days they didn't really get too close to the characters all the time, and to have him look exactly like it for being one of the mini characters, that's cool. Because, I mean, if you got Huffer, Gears, whatever, you know, the only thing they got in common is the vehicle mode. Not very accurate. Same with the waiting with the little chain. If you put it kind of behind him when you display him, it makes him stamp good, because these two are not very, they're not very stable. They're going to fall over a little too easily. Then again, where their foot is, there's only like a small little section from where it folds out the little joint that actually provides a base. The rest of the foot is, you know, it's not very thick or anything. And they're top heavy, verily. Not to mention front heavy. But, I think they're really cool looking, and I think they're worth a purchase. I mean, you can buy them online. I think Action Figure Express has them for like, what was it, $11.99? And you probably pay about $5-6 shipping and handling. I got mine at Hot Topic. And I wasn't too bad. Only thing is, they didn't really have them out. I had to ask the dude, because I was like, hey man, I heard you guys have, you know, the Transformer keychains. He goes, yeah, I got them back in the back, because a lot of people, they're so small, they can be stolen really easily. And they are. They're not very big, you know. They're about, you know, 2 inches high or whatever. And they're a robot. They're packaged in their vehicle modes. And, yeah, I can understand it'd be stolen very easily. And he said, you know, they're probably going to get the other two, because he heard his, like, the district manager, he was the assistant manager, his district manager said, there's more of them coming out, and we're probably going to carry them too. And I was kind of glad he told me that. I mean, I know the two are up, Brawn and Windcharger, but, you know, this is going to be cool. I can get them at store. I order them because, for some reason, the comic shops around here don't carry them. Although I'm friends with two owners who, after my advice, they finally start carrying the PVCs, and lo and behold, they can't keep them in stock. Part of that's me. I keep buying cases from them, but, you know, other people buy them too. So it's, you know, it's pretty cool. I'm going to show them to them and go like, hey, look, you guys should carry these. These are going to sell well. Not to mention it'd be closer to me than Hot Topic. That's like in a mall that's 30 miles away from me. Make that 20 miles. It's about a 30-minute drive. And one thing I like to talk about is the packaging. The packaging is almost an exact replica of the original packaging. When I say almost, the picture of the robot, the little painting, is bigger. And it's placed with the toy not exactly over it. So when you remove your bubble, it doesn't, you know, take away from the picture. Except for, like, his legs. And if you do like I do and just slip a knife under the plastic, it really doesn't mess that up too much. That, and if you just keep an extra set, like, shoot, I'm going to go buy in like two or three more sets of these, because I just think they're the coolest things on Earth, besides full-size Scourge, but that's a different story. I'm going to buy a couple more to keep in package. Excuse me, I just need a little sip of Mountain Dew there. It's pretty tasty. But the packaging is cool. The picture is a little bigger than they were, and they're not placed, like I said. They're placed around the legs, which, if you remember the originals, it'd be placed right over the picture just about, which is like a little bit of the picture of the character behind it. And if you had mini spies or a decoy or whatever, you know, those were all over the picture, and when you took it off, it, you know, there it goes, just got torn cardboard. Only thing really variant too much to keep it from looking like an original is the Fun for All little logo at the bottom corner, but that's no big deal. Other than that, it's identical. On the other side, it has the instructions in color, which is really cool, of how to transform them. And if you can't tell by looking at them how to transform them, well, you're either a kid in 1980 who just got it, or you've never had a transformer in your life. Excuse me. And then at the bottom, on the side, it's kind of like the side has the tech specs, which are the same tech specs. The only difference is the little side panel. You can it's got the little the same color scheme they used to have where you put the red piece of cellophane over it, but you can see the blue lines over it, so you can, you know, read the tech specs. And those are pretty cool. You know, reading Bumblebee's is pretty funny because the whole time, you know, I halfway expected his tech specs to say Daniel and Spike's babysitter. But, you know, it's pretty decent. And I like how the tech specs go over Cliff Jumper's gas glass gun, which he doesn't come with a gun. So, you know, not to mention if he did, where would he hold it? You know, there's no way for him to hold the gun. So saying he shoots gas glass pellets was cool. Of course, it's the original tech specs, but, you know, that's kind of cool because I thought they just made that up in the cartoon and on the comics. Because, like I said, I never had these two before, and getting a chance to own them is really cool. I pretty much hope to be able to find the original ones at BotCon this year, because I'd like to have these compared up to them. And that's really all I got to say about them. I know it wasn't the most exciting thing to describe or whatever. I mean, mini car keychains aren't exactly Scourge at Toys R Us, but they're relatively cool, and I think this is going to take off. I can't wait for the Brawn and Windcharger ones, just because for a novelty keychain, it's actually a cool one instead of a, you know, novelty board game that's just a piece of plastic with a sticker on it that's a replica. It's a full-functioning toy. Not to mention a full-functioning toy that was part of, you know, something really big. I think even people that aren't Transformers are going to see these and buy these just because it's, I mean, you can't, don't even have to be a Transformers fan to say, hey, that's cool. Well, that's all I really got to say about these guys. Hopefully next review I'll send in will be a little bit more exciting, maybe entertaining, some drama or something, I don't know. Anyway, this is Rob for RC. Thanks. And back to Brian. Or whoever. You know what I'm talking about.
Radio Free Cybertron.
And thank you there, Rob. You know, a lot of things have happened since Oh, since the last update, several issues of the Dreamwave comic have come out. We've learned that the Season 2 box set will be coming out soon. I think it's going to be about $80 or $90 for the entire second season. We've seen more Armada, and Armada is actually showing up. I've heard from, you know, in small amounts. I don't know if the toys have actually shown up, but they are putting the material, the paperwork out at Walmart for them. Oh, goodness. We've had like an Air Attack Optimus Primal, who we never thought was going to come out. He came out. We had Toy Fair, and just an amazing amount of things I've missed out on. I really need to get back into the swing of things, and I soon will. Let's see here. I think we'll go to Finn back next. Take it away, Finn.
Hi, this is Marcus Finbeck Good. I'm bringing you the second one of my segments. I haven't actually got a formal title for these segments yet, so I'll have to come up with something. And this week I've decided that I was going to do a review of the Transformers Generation 1 comic by Dreamwave. And then I thought to myself, a better way to actually review it would actually to be ask someone who doesn't really have the same background in Transformers or anything. So, I'm going to interview my girlfriend Maddie, who has actually been kind enough to read it for me and everything, and I get her opinions on them. And first of all, Maddie, I'd just like to ask, what's your background, really, in terms of Transformers? I mean, I know it, but the audience doesn't really, so.
Okay. Background as of what I've seen with you, or what in general for my entire life?
Probably the life.
Life? You used to watch Transformers every now and then when it came on TV. Had a few, can't remember what they were. Completely disappeared for a while, and then all of a sudden came back when I met you.
So, in the time that we've been together, you've seen all of Beast Wars.
Yep.
And there was that one episode of Beast Machines we saw.
Yeah, one half.
Yeah. And you've seen a few episodes of the original Generation 1 cartoon, but not very many. What, I think you've seen More Than Meets the Eye and SOS Dinobots.
Yeah.
And that's pretty much about it, really. Not enough that you could really recall that much of it. Okay. So, I'm going to ask you some questions if I can go through it page by page and everything. And for those of you who would rather avoid being spoiled for the comic, I'm actually going to set my stopwatch to about 5 minutes. So, if you'd really like to avoid, you know, avoid this section, you can use the little slidey bar on your computer to skip ahead in the program about 5 minutes. So I'm going to start it now. Wait, that wasn't the right button. Shut up. No, there we go. Okay, off we go. Okay, what did you think of the cover art?
Cover, very, very funky. I can pick out most of the Decepticons yet. Haven't seen enough to actually...
Who have you actually had trouble identifying out of the ones shown on here?
Well, the funky green dude up the back is Devastator?
Yeah.
Couldn't remember who he was. Not sure of the little blue jet guys.
Okay, that's Thundercracker, and that's Skywarp.
Ah, yes. Obviously picked up Ravage and Laserbeak.
And Soundwave.
And Soundwave. All the obvious ones.
Megatron.
Oh god. and Rumble and Frenzy, But these guys.
Yeah, those two there, they're the Insecticons. They appeared about after the Dinobots did, I think. And these two here, that's Blitzwing and that's Astrotrain, they're all the ones that that's right, because you've seen the movie as well. You've seen the movie. So, okay, well, I'll move in and we'll go through it. That picture there, if you can actually, it's on the inside cover for those of you keeping up at home. It's on the inside cover, you've got the, because I have the Decepticon issue, the splash art from the Autobot cover. You can see some of their art down there, but that's like a condensed form.
Yeah.
I've got it on computer, I've probably shown you it before.
Yeah.
What did you think of the opening of the comic with the guys in the jungle?
Quite good, actually. Very well set out. It's just looking for little extra things because I went to pick up little hidden metaphors or whatever within pictures just from being around you. So just looking through, just waiting to see any sort of Autobot Decepticon movement. And as the giant hand comes through, it was...
Did you know whose hand that was? Well, I mean, obviously, yeah, actually, it's told later on in the story, isn't it? So
yeah. But yes, I did figure out.
Yeah. I don't know, for me personally, I just thought it was a little bit cliche.
Mm.
You know, I mean, as well, I think Megatron would have made some kind of sound. Like, even if he flew and landed, he would have made a bit more noise than that. Plus, like, all the animals in the jungle probably would have gone quiet and... It would have been a very weird situation, but the soldiers think, and not realise, hey, all the animals have gone deathly quiet, you know?
Plus, there would have been a lot more noise just for him moving anyway.
Yeah, or like putting his hand between those trees there, it would be scraping on things. What do you think of this page, the big kaboom?
Not one of the better explosions I've seen, but...
Personally, I quite like it. I just think it really... The contrast in the dark and the colour to the previous couple of pages, actually,
yeah.
It's like, it stands out more, I think, because it hasn't got any clear delineated figures with, like, cliché black lines around it, almost.
No, it is good compared to a lot, but, no, I'm not sure, I'm not sure about that one.
Okay, actually, if this segment runs over time, I will let you know at 5 minutes, because we've already hit 3 minutes, so this could go a while longer. Well, actually, what were your opinions of the overall art?
Overall art was beautiful. I very much like it. I think Daniel and Spike, it was gorgeous. But that's me. no, it's beautifully drawn. Just the colours are excellent. But, yeah, no, I really enjoyed reading it. It was just really nicely done. It was really easy to follow.
Another thing I picked up on, actually, only just a second, it says that he lives in Cleveland, Ohio, whereas in the original Transformers, or in the comics and stuff originally, he lived in Oregon.
Okay.
So he lived on the other side of the country, pretty much. So, also, that woman there, we've debated whether that's Carly or not. She was in some of the old cartoons. I don't think you've seen her yet. I
haven't seen her, but read her in the fanfics.
Oh, right, yes. Yeah, Maddie has read much of the world's worst fanfics. She may be slightly biased, yeah. Actually, interesting thing I noticed, that medallion around Spike's neck.
What?
I don't know, because that's one of the earliest things I picked up on. I was like, ooh, plot device, do-do-do-do. also it's interesting that he's still he's like an engineer or mechanic like his father, or he does something similar.
He's beaten up fella.
Yeah. I mean, it's kind of an obvious way, like, here's who my name is, even though they could have just had, like, you know, put his name, Wiki or something on the jacket or something, you know. What do you think of the whole military background of it all? Actually, for those of you who are still listening at home, we just hit the 5 minute mark, so... Skip further on. Go for like an extra 15 or something.
Don't listen. Like, cover your ears.
Yeah, it's like we're gonna run overtime on this very easily. So,
military involvement. Very. Can't even think of the word.
One thing that bothered me with it actually was like, the last panel. Oh God knows what page. It's the one where he says, "Let's have that coffee, shall we?" And you get a sense of empathy for this guy. He looks quite tired and worn, as if like he's got the weight of the world on his shoulders. But then the next page, like, down the bottom, he's like with the cigar and everything, he's going, he looks like an utter bastard, because, you know, he's just saying...
Playing good cop, bad cop.
Yeah, and it just doesn't work for me. For 1 second, I actually was interested to know who the character was. Like, yeah, I mean, like I say, he's got the weight of the world on his shoulders, you know, and then he's just like a cliche image. You don't have a choice, you're coming with us. It's like, yeah, you're a wanker.
Yeah.
Wanker, that's a quite Australian / British term. If any of you American listeners don't know what it is, go out and find a good dictionary. It's like, it's a fun word.
Look it up with tosser, it's under the same line.
with the Canadian driving around up there, what do you think of Lazarus?
Lazarus was a very strong character, yet...
Dorky?
No, yeah, kind of.
don't know, you seem...
I think he was relatively fair. He was mean, but he was fair.
I don't think he's a bit washed out. It's like, wow, Lazarus, my name's come back from the dead. Actually, some people have argued that it's Sparkplug. Because
okay.
He's written that back, but you know, he's eventually died. He seems awfully skinny and young looking for Sparkplug, if you ask me.
Why does everyone have a scar up their eye?
Mm-hmm. Also, the guy with the bag, I'm going to say, the first time I saw it, I got the giggles. It's Cobra Commander from G.I. Joe! Woo! You know, it's like the line here, I'm not exactly the most popular man in the world. Let's just say that over the years, my political intentions have been misunderstood. I just thought that was good, because I just thought, hey, they shouldn't have made it Cobra Commander, just for a joke. Oh, also, while I remember, crikey. I have been asked to say the word crikey on air. There you go, folks.
Crikey.
It
beat me.
Oh, like driving through the ice. I noticed it's hard to actually see. They don't seem to leave any tracks behind them. Whether that's just the angle that they're drawing it, I don't know. And did you work out who the Jeep was when it transformed?
Didn't figure out who it was, but did pick up on it and thought it was quite clever because I didn't even think of the Jeep being a Transformer.
Yeah, that's Hound. He was in the Mold Meets the Eye with Cliffjumper, and he's the one with the holograms.
Because
you don't actually see his head or anything, you just see his body and the stars on his thing they give away. Yeah, actually, I thought this guy was funny. It's like, I'm going, hey, it's like Lazarus' bodyguard, the actual guy. It's like, it's Marky Mark. He's actually got a career after Planet of the Apes. Yeah,
The size of his neck.
Yeah, he just looks very, very silly.
It's not like he's muscle bound or anything, so and that shouldn't be.
One thing I noticed, they're standing in the middle of a snowstorm, and yet none of them has snow on them. They should be like, have snow in their hair and stuff like that. It's like, they'd want to be pulling up their hoods and everything like that. Oh no, they're not very clever, are they?
They're magical.
Yeah, actually, like, because of the Cobra Commander thing, every time I imagine this terrorist guy's voice, I keep thinking, you know, because Cobra Commander in G.I. Joe was voiced by the same guy who did Starscream in the original, so I keep imagining his voice doing it. Someone pointed out that it's like, you see him doing the origami bird thing. And it's like, why is he making an origami bird for the man with a bag on his head? He can't see it. It's like, yeah, good one there, Lazarus. Yeah, way to go, Boy Wonder. Someone, one of the people on Alt Dodge Wizard Transformers actually goes, oh, I don't think, I've never seen a paper crane look like that. It's like, I can make paper cranes like that. I can do that easily. It's like, you know, I mean, his hands are probably shaking. I do like the way actually you see the bag
the
lifted
bag
off and then seeing the legs. I'm not sure, I think those are meant to be Starscream's legs.
Okay.
I can't say that for sure, but it's confusing because
the
angle with the red.
The only one he sees is Megatron though, isn't it?
Well, this would be someone else though, because this one looks like it's standing.
Oh, and no, Megatron was sitting down.
Yeah, exactly. That's one thing in Starscream because with the red, but I can't be sure because the legs look different on the cover than they do inside and this and that, and...
Anyway.
Yeah. BotCon 2002 ad! Yay! Because I'm actually going to BotCon 2002, which is going to rule, so that's pretty cool.
Everyone
not. Yes, well... I'd already had this thing planned, though, before we'd met,
I wasn't planning.
I like it funny, actually, where is he? Mike McConaughey. He's actually Hotshot and Ironhide from Robots in Disguise. He's also Trax and Cosmos from the original Transformers. I didn't realize that Trax and Cosmos are the same guy. And Trax, you know, one from the World's Just Fanfic,
Gay boy.
As well, there's a few other ones in there that have done double voices before, and I think, well, there was another one. Well, maybe I'm getting confused, I don't know. But yeah, it's like, unfortunately for me, a lot of the characters, a lot of the voice actors who are going, I mean, I've only seen about 10 episodes of Reed. So, it's going to be a little bit weird going, hi, I barely heard your voices before. They may not have, some of these guys may not have been on TV by the time I leave, so, you know. But, yeah, that's actually the Unicron exclusive statue thing. I think I've heard about that one. It's about foot and a half tall. So, it's very big. I've got some pictures of it somewhere up here. That's meant to be Ty. It's like, as people said, Dan Cannon doesn't really draw Ty well. It's like, no, Jared, I don't think the face is that crash hot. It's like the eyes are high big. Oh, okay. The mini poster in the centre. What did you think of it?
Well, I didn't get the little electric overload circuit
on Shockwave there.
Yeah.
Or whoever,
and down here and
I think that's Prime hitting Soundwave. Oh, that would be my guess. Or maybe Ironhide hitting Soundwave.
Yeah.
So it sounded like getting punched in the chest. See, the thing that irritates, aside from that, Megatron takes up way too much of it.
Yeah.
And like, there's too many figures who are clustered, but also the lighting on the eyes, like this guy up here in the very top right. I've got no idea who he is for sure, but I think he's one of the reflector three guys around the camera. But the red glowing eyes occupy so much of his face, it distracts from the actual detail of his face. And
fair enough that he's in the background, his eyes would be glowing quite a bit.
But a lot of these guys have been drawn from the toys, like Wheeljack there doesn't actually have eyes, like the original toy. And there's other ones, but I mean, you look at Red Alert there, and it's like, again, the glow seems to take up too much. I mean, there's a really botched, I think that's Twin Twist. It's Twin Twist or Top Spin, one of the two. He's fighting Shockwave. And it's not even done well. It's just like they've added a yellow spot over one eye. It's like, oh, look, it's glowing. But it looks terrible, and it occupies detail on his face. I really don't like the glowing eyes. I think they look quite dumb. So, yes.
It'd be okay if they weren't overdone as they are.
Yeah. Then you've got the ad for the hardcover editions.
Okay.
The compilations of the original comics. I like the way they actually match up together. You've got Unicron between those two, and you've got Primus. And this is like how they actually start. Primal Scream, Matrix Quest. You got all four down at the end of the road. That's the order they go in.
Cool.
So, depending on, like, saying with him reading the newspaper thing at the back there, it was kind of, I don't know, weird. It doesn't seem to crumple well. It's like they've drawn it and they've just superimposed the text on it.
Yeah.
So. And then the woman, as someone pointed out, she doesn't actually have anything holding her glasses on her face.
There's special glasses, you can't actually get them.
Okay. Yeah, but just what, Hulk pinched on the nose without the actual earpieces?
Yeah, Morpheus.
Oh, yeah, I suppose. Oh, come on, that's Hollywood. That's Hollywood. That's big budget thing, you know.
People do it every day.
Oh, you probably won't get the reference, actually. Some of the other listeners might. The janitor guy, Larry. Oh, I'm sorry, all I can think of him is like, it's IQ! It's IQ! Somehow they separated him from Prime's body! And, like, he's actually got a job now because he's a little bit crazy. I mean, as you would be having, you know, Prime's mind inside your body.
The horror.
Yeah. Like that line of it, there's always something more underneath the iron. It's like, belaboring the point, it's like beating it to death with a stick. Why does my wall look like I'm going to something run down it? I don't know, I have to check that, that's very dodgy. Sorry, slight side point there, I was looking over at the wall.
You put something down and slid something against it. It's rubble from something.
I don't know what. Again, the general, it's like, he talks about Spike's brother, which is Buster, who is a major character in the comics and stuff like that. Spike's face looks dodgy in that panel. Okay. But again, see, the general, in this section, you get the impression again that he's a nice guy, you know, he's got the weight of the world and everything, he's trying to like, not cause another disaster, he's trying to piece together a world that's been totally smashed up and everything.
But then when he can't get his way, then
he seems like a right bastard, yeah.
Evil mode.
And then they bring up the footage here. I thought that was quite good, actually, with Megatron.
That was good.
Blowing out. That was nicely done, I think. Although he's, I don't know, it's the way he's holding his gun on his arm looks a bit weird. Yeah, it's a weird angle there.
Is it usually on the outer side,
isn't it? Yeah, it's, I don't know if his hand kind of rotated within the socket or something, or,
I suppose when it goes down.
Yeah, I do like the way that Spike knew who he was straight over. So the important thing of saying Megatron, you know. But also, I think if Megatron's under control, he looks like he's having a damn jolly good time there in that big close-up of his face. You can see big grin on the side again. Hee-hee, I'm having fun!
Yeah, but he's got partially of his own intelligence within it as well.
Yeah, that's what we're coming after. Yeah, it's like with the terrorist guys actually seeing Megatron sitting in the chair. He looks quite good sitting in that chair, actually. You do get a good sense of scale with him.
Period.
So, I mean, the terrorist is like, yeah, nice shaving. It just looks very pallid, you know. It's, I don't know. But
very stereotypical for a
Again, subject six. Someone else has mentioned the whole thing, but you know, have you seen the Prisoner? Oh, the TV series. Don't worry, I'm getting off on the
prisoner
side.
Prisoner, women's.
No, not that Prisoner. The British one that was a guy in this weird town. I am not a number. Never mind.
Very, very vaguely.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. You know. So this thing, subject six, raised left arm. Subject six raised right up. It looks like me in this panel, the third panel on the 5-panel page after Megatron's been activated. Have a look. It looks like he's got a smirk on his face. He looks like he's gonna go, I tricked you guys. I like to think about Neil before me, because
yeah,
I was like,
Megatron.
Well, like in the movie, though, with Unicron,
yeah.
Because, like, you know, I belong to nobody, his
yeah.
whole indignant, so it's somehow so subconsciously rooted that he won't bow down. But, I mean, yeah, with the eyes glowing and everything, you're kind of wondering, ooh, drama, you know. The other funky thing is, though, you go between the two panels, and, like, his face is dark and the eyes glow, but the side of his head not darkened, so it's like,
yeah.
What did he turn the spotlight off his face or something? So, and then you've got the military base, you know, Area 24, authorized personnel. Actually, there's something. The general's tie changes colour. He's got a black tie on inside the base, and outside the base he's got a yellow tie. How's that for a little side feature there, people? But, and I, what do you think of the big splash page at the end?
That was funky.
Yeah, big Optimus. That looks quite good. I like.
They had to bring him out at some point, but it was like, oh yeah, you can
yeah.
move that to the last page.
I like the big perspective on it, you know. It looks good from that angle. Anyway, we're about to run out of time here, folks. So that's our brief review. If you've got any comments, send them to finback@animail.net. It was in last week's show.
Radio Free Cybertron. Content entertaining. Omega listens.
And Heroes Con was a few weeks ago. It was over the Father's Day weekend in Charlotte, North Carolina at the convention center. You know, there wasn't a whole lot of Transformers content there. I was kind of hoping that Pat Lee and Dreamwave would be there, but they weren't. Heroes Con isn't as large as it used to be. It used to be the largest comic book convention on the East Coast, and I think it no longer holds that title. It's still a fairly large convention as far as comic book conventions go. It's, of course, bigger than BotCon, but I would say it's smaller than, say, like a Wizard World convention. Or it's probably smaller than Dragon Con, even though I'd hate to admit that. Like I said, though, there wasn't a whole lot of Transformers stuff there. There were a few old G1 toys. You know, there was some car robot stuff, some Transformers comics, some busts, some bootleg videotapes. There was far less Transformers stuff than in the past, and the Transformers are really hotter now in the mainstream than they were. I mean, I don't think that the active fandom is as hot as it was, say, a year or two ago. The prices on eBay, best I recall, have sort of dropped, and I always use that as a good barometer to show me where the fandom is. But I was really surprised that there were so few Transformers, you know, related, you know, merchandise. There were more Dragon Ball Z stuff than Transformers, which is kind of sad. But I digress. If you like comic books, I mean, comic books are, you know, a good, solid, you know, geek pastime that I happen to partake in. Little funny story is Mark Waid, the comic book god. Oh, well, he's not a comic book god, but I'm a big fan of Mark Waid's stuff. At Heroes Con, I don't know if it's like this at every other convention, but the creators just walk around the floor, you know, buying books just like anybody else does. So Mark Waid was walking around looking at books, and every time I saw Mark Waid, I just sort of veered his way just to see what he was doing. Saw a friend of mine there, and, you know, went over to talk to him, and we were talking about Transformers. He was contemplating a purchase of Godzinrai, and he ended up getting it. I think he got it for $45. Another friend of mine got one, too. And there are pictures of that on the website. But, like I said, I saw a friend of mine there, and I joked that I was stalking Mark Waid. I turned around, and Mark Waid was about a foot and a half behind me, looking at comic books. I don't know if Mark heard me, but it was still sort of funny. Really, the convention, it wasn't as good as it has been in past years, but it may have been more fun. It was easier to get through, and I participated more in the whole fan-oriented thing instead of digging through stuff. I would go around and see what the creators were doing and get autographs and such. I didn't get a whole lot of autographs. I only got two or three. But I still talked with the creators and hobnobbed with these stars. These stars being Mark Waid and Kurt Busiek. On the whole, Heroes Con was okay. It's no BotCon if you're going for Transformers, but if you like comics, it's still plenty fun. It's not the gala that, say, a Wizard World is or San Diego Comic Con, but it's still pretty cool. Like I said, there are pictures on the website, and you know, I think I got more pictures of the Charlotte skyline than I did the actual convention. But basically, everything that I took is thrown up on tfradio.net.
My enemies have found me. They surround me and confound me, and with inbound missiles hound me as they hit the ground around me. But with one astounding bound, I shall escape.
And we are going to end out the show this week with Megatron 33.
Alright, that is it! Jettison the Insecticons! You guys have got to lay off those Hostess fruit pies!
Hello, hello, hello! This is Megatron 33 reporting in again for Radio Free Cybertron. Today I'll be reviewing Fire Pro Wrestling for the Game Boy Advance. It's one of my favorite games. Let me give you a brief history about Fire Pro. It started with, well, Fire Pro for, I believe, the NES system. And it moved through various game systems. One of the best ones for older systems would be Super Fire Pro Wrestling X Premium. Very good game, the first one I started on. And later incarnations, Fire Pro Wrestling G for the PlayStation. More recently, Fire Pro Wrestling D for the Dreamcast, which I've heard is a very, very good game, one of the best so far, and Fire Pro Wrestling for the Game Boy Advance. Also, I'll probably be referring to it as FPA, Fire Pro Advance. And next is coming out with Fire Pro something or other, where you act as a booker. But anyway, this is Fire Pro Wrestling A, and great game. It has everything that you would expect in a Fire Pro game, and a little bit more. Now, Fire Pro, it's not like any normal wrestling game, such as No Mercy or the SmackDown series. It's not like that. Has a very, I don't know, well, obviously it's more Japanese approach to wrestling. One of the things you'll notice is the grappling system itself, where you simply, when you get close enough to your opponent, you'll grapple automatically, as opposed to pressing a button to grapple. And at that point, once you grapple, you have a good amount of moves that you can select from, but you have to do them in the right order. Now, what I mean is, you have three levels of grapples. Your weak grapples, your medium grapples, and your strong grapples. In Fire Pro, you can't go straight to your strong grapples right off the bat. The opponent will counter out of it and put you either a pinfall or reverse into another move, whatever. Very nice psychology, I think, because in no realistic wrestling matches, well, I shouldn't say realistic, but you know what I mean, most people, they don't go off using their signature moves, more powerful signature moves, their finishing moves. You have to build it up to it. So it's the same in Fire Pro. As well as grapples, you have an assortment of strikes. You have weak strikes, medium strikes, then the hard ones, of course. Follows basically the same pattern as the grapples. You're able to hit your first two... Well, actually, you're able to hit all your strikes if you just time them right. So, it's not like the opponent will counter out of it.
except maybe for a few more powerful strikes. Kalida's jumping high kick, for example. Opponents will duck under sometimes. When you start off the game, you'll notice that A, it isn't sponsored by any wrestling company, and two, it's all the wrestlers are obviously no-name wrestlers. This is not true. What Fire Pro does, they take wrestlers from all the major organizations around the world, mostly Japanese promotions, and then the major American ones. They usually don't focus on any European or Mexican promotions, but they do feature a couple Mexican wrestlers. What they do, they rename all the wrestlers. So if you look closely, like, say for instance, Steve Austin, they renamed him Bionic Man Steve Majors. And they also revamped the look of Steve Majors so it would avoid any copyright infringements with the WWF. But the Japanese wrestlers, they remain the same. Nobody really cares around here if there's copyright infringement on Japanese wrestlers. If they're able to get away with it in Japan, they're obviously going to get away with it here. Nobody cares. But actually, I do care, because now I'm able to play as my favorite Japanese wrestlers. And if you want to go around renaming them, you can look at game FAQs. One of the pinnacles of Fire Pro Wrestling, one of the mainstays, is the incredible edit mode. We're able to create basically any wrestler imaginable. For instance, the Fire Pro A, they didn't include all members of Kai and Tai. I love Kai and Tai. All they had were Dick Togo and Takemichi Noku. And Kaz Hayashi, yeah. But they did not have Funaki or Men's Tail. Well, I just went around the edit mode, selected appropriate moves, and I have Men's Tail and Funaki. Right down to their base. Well, in appearance, I mean, it looks dead on, really. As close as you can get with 2D sprites. But hey, they look good. The moves, I've approximated them as closely as possible. I haven't seen enough of Kai and Tai, or at least these two members, to really know their movesets completely. I know I had trouble finding something that looked like Men's Tail's Miracle Ecstasy Bomb, so I just settled for a basic choke slam. No big deal. And what else? The one thing lacking in Fire Pro is really a career mode where you ascend through the ranks, defeating various wrestlers, and finally getting to the championship. They don't have that, but they do have a league where you select up to 64 wrestlers and you compete in a tournament. I think it's called a round robin tournament, where you face everybody. You get like 3 points or 5 points for a win, 2 points for a draw, and 0 points for a defeat. Kind of fun, but it gets so long. I think I did a tournament with about 24 wrestlers. It took me a couple days of wrestling to finally just win the whole damn thing. Not in consecutive days, but, well, like an hour here and there. They also have a tournament, an elimination tournament kind of thing, where it's a 5-on-5, it's a teams of 5 one-on-one competitions. Either you can set it to your first wrestler of your 5 can either wrestle everybody, the other members of the opposing team, one-on-one until he's defeated, and then your second wrestler continues where he left off. Or you can have it set to one-on-one matches. So it's the so let's say guy A is matched up against guy F. Guy A will only wrestle against guy F, and not proceed to the other matches. And whoever wins the most matches will win, obviously. They also have a survival of the fittest kind of thing. You just keep wrestling until you're defeated. I assume damage carries over. I've not yet played that. It doesn't really sound all that interesting to me. I prefer the one-on-one matchups. And finally, they have an audience mode where you wrestle different styles of wrestling in order to please the crowd. You can wrestle the New Japan Strong style, which emphasizes offense and defensive skills. The King's Road style from All Japan, where special moves are emphasized. Or you can wrestle like the Showman style, where you appeal to the crowd with all your taunts before doing moves and all that, kind of like the WWF style. And the Gruesome style, which is the UFC Pride kind of matchup where you want to knock out or make your opponent submit as quickly as possible, that kind of thing. And based on how you do, you receive a percentage grade. And I think with this mode, you're able to unlock all the secret characters if you rank high enough in various styles. I did the cheap way to get all the secret wrestlers. I did a little code. Find that on Game FAQs. I think I forgot to mention the regular mode. Basically, you select whether you want a single match or a tag match or a handicap match, and you just select who's the handicap for or against. So you can be 2-on-1 against the computer, or the computer can be 2-on-1 against you. You select the ring that you want. The rings all mimic the Japanese rings and the American rings. So say you want All Japan, it's going to be Olive Japan. Or New Japan is View Japan. I think the WWF is APW, which I'm surprised that the APW company in Vallejo, California did not oppose, but oh well. You're able to select the music that you want playing during the match. You select the arena. There's the Nippon Budokan, Koraken Hall. I think the Yokohama City Bunka Gym, the Tokyo Dome, all renamed, of course. And you're also able to select the referee. Things like that. It makes the game all worthwhile that you're able to customize it to this level. That's really the fun part, is just creating wrestlers, wrestling them in, like, dream matches. In my matches, I try to select, well, wrestlers I like to face with my own character named the Great Mr. Al, of course. He always wins, mostly. I always try and wrestle in such a way that I would hope to have, if I were a wrestler, I would have that kind of match, or the kind of match that I would like to see on television. Lots of near falls, all that. And if you have enough near falls, whenever the referee counts a pinfall, the crowd will count along with them. I think that's kind of neat. The psychology in the game, I mean, graphically, it's not really represented all that much, but in the gameplay, say for instance, I beat up your arm, all the moves that require your arm, they're going to be less powerful, and that's a good touch. Although you're still able to do the moves that require your arm, but I mean, it's as close as you can get, really, to psychology in wrestling. And as for my final grade, I give Fire Pro Wrestling an A. My favorite game for the Game Boy Advance. I'm sad to say that it hasn't really caught on with the mainstream crowd. but if you'd like to give it a try, it's around $20 to $25, so it's not that bad. Give it a try. This is Megatron 33 signing off for Radio Free Cybertron.
And thank you again for listening to Radio Free Cybertron. I am Brian Kilby, and I'll be back. Look out for an update within 2 weeks of today. And again, for Radio Free Cybertron, I am Brian Kilby. Thank you for listening, and come back. And don't forget to check out the archive. There's a whole lot of crap in there.
Yeah, yeah.